Ladies and gentlemen, I'm DSP. I've been a content creator in the realm of gaming for 17 years here on YouTube.
So, yeah, guys, this is DSP, Darkside Phil. He has, as he said, been around on YouTube for a very, very, very long time. He was one of those Let's Play gamers back in the day. Like, you know, when YouTube first kind of, you know, became like a real website, sort of, you know, between 2007 and 2012, when it sort of became like a mainstream site, there were a whole bunch of these guys who were already video game enthusiasts, right? They were like, well, nerds, basically. You know, like, I don't mean that in like a bad way, like insulting them. I'm just saying, like, that's what they were, you know, like Wings of Redemption, Boogie. I don't think Boogie was ever like into Let's Play, but like, you know, that whole scene, I guess you would say, of guys that got on, they really kind of got in on the ground floor of YouTube because they had nothing else going on in their lives back in, you know, 2010. So, you know, guys like Wings were the kind of guys that would upload 8 hours of, you know, video game footage per day, because that was their whole life at the time. And Darkside Phil was one of those people. You know, he uploaded every day for like 10 hours. He would just stream himself playing video games. Now, during the golden age of Let's Play, this was between, like I said, between about 2008 and 2012, that was sort of the golden age of Let's Play gaming. There were guys that previously had been like, you know, just hobbyists who were just posting their, you know, Call of Duty content on YouTube, who were now making $10,000 a month doing it. So try and imagine the context, right? Imagine you're like a 30-year-old guy. Imagine that you're a neet in 2008, 2009. You know, you're unemployed. You're just sitting around in your, you know, your house by yourself just playing video games. All right, like, you know, maybe you're on welfare pretending to have, like, you know, fibromyalgia or something. You know, you've got some welfare check coming in that you could lose at any time. And you pass the day, you ease the pain by playing video games. It's your only cope, right? You're overweight, you don't have a girlfriend, you know, it's before Tinder, so there's, you know, nothing in sight. You're just by yourself in your home playing video games. All right, like, you're in that setting, and then all of a sudden you start making money from posting your gameplay. You know, it goes from like hobby income of like a few hundred dollars a month to, you know, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month just playing video games. And now all of a sudden you have thousands, tens of thousands of people that are paying attention to you and care about you and want to know your opinions, you know, like, you know, it's unprecedented. And that was before, like, all of the censorship. So you could pretty much just say what you want back then. You know, you could swear and, you know, still be monetized. So you could just be yourself. Like, you didn't have to watch your step or anything. You're making tens of thousands of dollars a month, and thousands of people care about what you have to say. You know, he had gone from being this, like, 30-year-old man child with, you know, no friends, no girlfriend, nothing going on. All of a sudden, he's like a kind of miniature celebrity on the internet now, on this new YouTube thing. Anyway, to cut a very long story short, fast forward to 2025, and Darkside Phil is now in his 40s. You can see he's clearly aged a bit. You know, his background is fancier, but the passion is gone. Okay, it's long gone. Over a decade of trolling, because this guy got trolled from early on. There is videos on YouTube with millions of views that analyze Darkside Phil, and, you know, all of the lore that goes into his internet career, right? Like, it's been a journey. But it's suffice to say that Phil is now, I think, 43, I think I heard. He's 43 years old, so he's approaching middle age. And he's one of those middle-aged guys that he's kind of a cross between 30 and 60, you know? He's got kind of the nerdy interests of like a juvenile boy, but he's kind of got that, like math teacher vibe. He's got that middle-aged kind of, like, you know, weirdo science teacher vibe. It's kind of it's a mix that I've seen before, and it often happens to aging nerds, right? And even with the sound turned off, he kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, the 40-year-old virgin, you know, Steve Carell. He's kind of got that energy, right? He's, you know, with the toys and just kind of like the, you know, the the social ineptitude and the nerdy interests. And yeah, he is the 40-year-old virgin, although technically I think he's married. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So it's 2025, and Phil is now a middle-aged man sitting in, you know, his living room, which he's converted into a, to like a YouTube studio or whatever. All right. Now, gone are the days, okay? Gone are the days where Phil was making, you know, 10, 15 grand a month from Let's Play. He's now, if he's lucky, making like a, you know, a few hundred dollars a week, you know, sitting in his living room, which he's now converted into a, like a gaming studio. And, you know, you only have to watch his stream for a few minutes to see that there's no passion. He spends most of the time just talking about donations. Guys, I need to hit the goal. You know, I need to hit $150 for this stream. That's my goal. We need to hit the goal, guys. And he hardly ever meets the goal anyway. You know, guys, what are you doing? We're only $81 into a $150 goal. I need this, okay? My bunny rabbit is sick because he has these, like, exotic pets that he keeps around. And, you know, basically complaining about how he's not getting enough money. It's been decades since he played games as a hobbyist, okay? And it's been a decade since he made decent money doing it. He's now basically just a beggar. It's basically busking. Like, when you hear a busker, you're not really enjoying their music. You're just basically, it's just begging that, you know, you're recognizing that they're doing something more than just lying there. And it's not like he has lots of people giving him a small amount of money. It's not like he has, you know, thousands of fans giving him a dollar each. It's like three guys giving him like $100 per stream, basically. It's basically just like a small handful of guys who, you know, they're like whales, you know, they're giving him enough money to eat, to keep him going. But if he ever loses like the two or three people that give him money, he has to go work in the call center.
Two goals hit today, two goals hit tomorrow, and we're doing the pizza party on Wednesday. It could be Thursday, it could be Friday. All right, and there's nothing I can do about that. I'm not controlling that. It's basically you guys. So whenever you want this stuff to happen, all right, let's get it going with support.
All right, so let's just do like a quick recap of Dark Side Phil. All right, let's just do a quick recap. So Phil is now 43 years old. He is a relic of early YouTube, all right? He's basically washed up. He's washed up, but he hasn't given up, all right? He's basically just this guy in his 40s that sits around playing video games for 8 hours per day and streams every second of it and constantly, constantly, constantly asks for money. Like, if you watch his streams, he'll go off on a tirade for like 20 minutes about people needing to give him money. In fact, more of his content is him talking about how much money he needs, which in my opinion is always like a sign of like an underlying ego and narcissism. Some people have this attitude of like, well, hey, if I was at work right now, I would be making $30 an hour. So you guys owe me $30 an hour to justify me being here to entertain you guys. Like, you know, this is their attitude. But it's like, bro, if you were at a job right now, like if you were actually working a proper job, no employer is going to pay you $30 an hour just to sit there at your desk and just goof off and talk about how much you want to make money. Like, if you were at work, you'd be producing something, right? The problem is that you're just not producing anything. You're just sitting there just being yourself, which is not inherently worth any money. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, there are people that make a lot of money, you know, appearing on camera and entertaining people. You know, they make more than what they would make at a job, but that's because they genuinely are entertaining and people would rather, like a movie, you know, people would rather pay that much money for that much time, but you're not owed it just for showing up.
So guys, I'm here for another about hour and a half, okay? Please support the stream, all right? I don't want to sit here and mention it a zillion times. We're not even at to a third of the goal. We had good momentum. Last night, we had a really well-supported stream of Disco Elysium. Now, I'm doing some action. This is the only time I can play Call of Duty this week, all right? So I'm looking forward to it. I'm having fun. Now I'm going to get to snipe, which I really want to do. Please support it, all right? Let's get some subs. Let's get some memberships. Let's get some tips. Let's get some super chats right now.
Yeah, so like I was saying, Phil is basically this washed-up guy that is begging for super chats. And I tried. I tried, you know, to clip some of his videos to give you a taste of Phil. Every time I would go to his channel and just click a random video and just drop this, you know, the scroll bar on any of the videos, it would just be him begging, begging for money. You know, I used to say that Mundane Matt was the most boring YouTuber to ever cross 100k subs, but even Mundane Matt would pick a topic and talk about it, albeit in a very boring way. Phil just goes live and begs for money, which is actually worse, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so it's last year, it's 2024. Phil's at the end of his rope, he's one bad week away from having to do his CV and, go and apply for a job at Dial America, for the first time in, 2 decades, look for a job. So in his desperation, he reaches out to a show that I watch, and this is kind of what got me onto Dark Side Phil, because I'd heard the name before, but I just dismissed him as like a boring person that, other people find funny or interesting, but, isn't kind of thing. Like, I've never had an interest in Boogie or Wings of Redemption, who I mentioned earlier. There's lots of people that, Chris Chan, the rest of the internet finds interesting, but I don't. Dark Side Phil was one of those people. But he reached out to a show that I do watch called The Kino Casino. Now, these guys have a show on Kick, which is like kind of a YouTube alternative. And, I mean, you can see the view count here. You can say what you want about The Kino Casino, positive or negative, but there's no denying that these guys make thousands of dollars, like, per show, all right? Like, I was honestly blown away when I saw how much money those guys were pulling in each episode, because I followed it right from the start. Because neither of them had been making a lot of money before they started The Kino Casino. Worski was, he'd come back a little bit, but he was, like, down in the dumpster. And Ashton was streaming from, like, a hut in the forest at one point. Like, he was live streaming for free from like a cabin in the woods, like it was crazy. And then they got together and all of a sudden they're making thousands of dollars per episode. It was very strange. But anyway, Dark Side Phil sees this phenomenon and he decides to reach out to them and is like, hey, want to do a collaboration? I'll come on your show and you can make fun of me and whatnot. So Dark Side Phil reached out to The Kino Casino and was, buck dancing for their attention. And they threw him a bone and invited him on the show. Now, I won't profess to be like a, body language expert or anything, but you can sort of just tell by the way he carries himself that he's awkward, The vibe is just off, They're doing a lot of talking. He's responding. He's trying to look cool. He's trying to look like one of the boys, but this looks like a guy, and I can relate to this, honestly. I can relate to this, but he looks like a guy who spent way too much time by himself in his own bubble, in his own kind of hug box, He looks like he's out of the loop from socializing. And for the first time, even amongst his peers, because, these guys aren't like, normies or anything, One's a 400-pound troll, the other one's, Rocky Balboa's handicapped nephew. But even amongst these guys, he's still the odd man out, He's like Travis Bickle in that scene from Taxi Driver where he meets the other taxi drivers that are all weirdos. But even amongst that crowd, he still looks kind of awkward, if that makes sense. But anyway, I know that a lot of the people who watch my channel, not that there's a lot of people that watch my channel, but the people who do watch my show, I'm sure a lot of you probably don't know who any of these people are, including Dark Side Phil. And I'll tell you what, the most I knew about him was from a clip from a Medicare stream from a few years ago where Medicare reviews a video of DSP playing Grand Theft Auto and making fun of, because that's what DSP is most well known for. He's like he plays video games, but he's bad at it. And that's the joke. Like he's a professional video game player, but he's bad at it. So like you're watching a guy who's kind of bad and you're watching him get frustrated at the game when it's really a skill issue on his part. But, for 8 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week, it kind of gets old pretty quickly. It kind of gets old. It kind of plays into something I've been talking about for years, including in my last video, about the dangers of becoming socially left behind, all right, a hermit, right, a shut-in, somebody who's fallen behind the rest of the world due to their own actions, all right? Yes, this is just silly drama that I think is funny and hence why I'm making a video about it. But it also kind of plays into what I've been talking about for years, all right? So Phil goes on The Kino Casino and it's awkward. But the thing is, right, Back in the day when he was young, Phil had no problem getting along with other nerds, right? Like, he had no problem with getting along, you know, getting along with his peers, right? But what happened is that he started getting trolled a lot in the early days of YouTube. So he banned everybody, banned the trolls, you know, and he basically just became, his channel just became like North Korea, or Snort Korea is the Phil meme. I'm not up to date on my Phil terminology to know what that means, but the point is, Phil basically became a hermit. All right, he was already a nerd in 2010, but he isolated himself deliberately, and then he comes out of his shell more than a decade later, and he's socially awkward. And the casino tried to have him on a bunch of times, but he would do this thing where he would come on for a few minutes, and then he would say, "Guys, I've got to go. You know, I'm busy. You know, some personal stuff I've got to do." He would jump off the stream, but he would be in the YouTube chat for hours afterwards. And that is a classic sign of anxiety. I've seen that before. I've seen that social anxiety before, where they go on for a few minutes and then they have to go, but then they're in the chat for hours. That's social anxiety. You know, it's hard to explain, but it's like, oh, you know, I love watching the casino A-log people, but with Dark Side Phil there, the chemistry is off. You know, it's just like there's someone in the room trying to bring the mood down, you know? It's like at a party and, like, the wrong person is there and you just can't get into it. Yeah, I couldn't watch any of their streams when Phil was on. Anyway, eventually they couldn't take it anymore and they just kind of blew up on him. They did a bunch of streams where they're like, yeah, behind the scenes, this guy's insufferable, you know? Like, whenever we would invite him on to do a show, he would make us promise that there's not going to be any, like, you know, any phone calls into the show, like any unexpected guests that he's not mentally prepared for, because everybody on the internet wants to make fun of him. And they said he had no passion for anything but his own life, right? And that's a classic hermit, is someone who has no passion for anything but their own life, okay, and everything that is them. And of course, you know, if there ever is a time when they want to rejoin the world again, if there ever becomes a day where they want to maybe reconnect with people, it's almost impossible, because now the only thing they can talk about is their own life, because they haven't. Once you disconnect enough, it becomes harder and harder to go back. And it's not just socially. I think the reason why he sticks to YouTube and, you know, kick streaming and everything, even though he's probably, you know, barely making minimum wage these days, I think the reason why he sticks to it is because every year that goes by, and there's just a bigger and bigger hole in his CV, the harder the idea of ever going back to work is, you know. I found out something really kind of haunting when I was in Thailand. All right, I had not heard about this phenomenon, but it's a real thing. Over in Thailand, there are a lot of Westerners, particularly men, who self-delete, okay? Like, about once a week, there'll be some story in some Thai newspaper about some guy, some, you know, 58-year-old American expat who jumped from the 10th floor of his apartment building. And then they investigate him, and he was like an overstayer. You know, he'd come there on a 30-day tourist visa, and he'd been there for like 5 months, keeping a low profile. And then one day he just jumped from the roof of his apartment building. And yeah, as it turns out, this is like a normal phenomenon in Thailand, is what happens is these Western expats will go over there and they'll have a good time. You know, they're in their home country, they're just some old man, some, you know, some boomer. But when they go to Thailand, you know, all of a sudden they have, you know, women yelling out to them, hey, mister, come over here, you know, and you'd be surprised as to how much these old men buy into the fantasy. But even the ones who aren't, you know, in delusion about it, they still feel that they're treated better in Thailand than they are back home, especially if they come from the UK where it's like really cold, you know, they've got nothing but the coldness to come back to, you know, the high price of rent or whatever. So what happens is they just stay, they just overstay their visa. And after 5 months, 3 years, whatever the amount of savings they have, they just burn through to the last dollar. And of course, you know, when that finally happens, they, you know, they put on their Sunday finest, go up to the 10th floor of the apartment building, and they jump. Because, you know, the fear of going back to their old lives is so great, okay? The difficulty of going back to their own lives is so tough that they just sit there like a frog in water and just don't move until it's too late. And unfortunately, that is the case with Darkseid Phil, I think. I think the idea of having to do his CV, the idea that he would have to, like, go work in the call center, the idea that he would have to, like, you know, open the door and, you know, the light comes blasting into his home and blinds him. You know, the idea of going outside is so difficult for Phil. The idea of having to, like, go through training or, you know, re-enter education, anything, it's so frightening to him that he would rather just sit and just, you know, do live streams for fewer and fewer people, even if he's making less than minimum wage. You know, it's still a less frightening thought to have to keep live streaming than actually return to the real world, because he has Vera's license syndrome. Let me tell you what I mean by that. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you get the idea. But yeah, it is fun watching, like, anti-Phil, you know, Phil detractor content. It is funny. I've got nothing against him personally, but it is entertaining. You know, he called the people that are making fun of him. Yeah, he called his detractors, including the casino, he called them misery merchants, you know. Oh, those people that make videos about me, they're misery merchants, but I don't care what they say. I'm just having a good time. It's like, you know, you're kind of telling on yourself when you call your detractors misery merchants, because what you're saying is that they're making you miserable, you know, when that's all in your own mind. You could log off forever. Okay, you could just close down your computer and go get a job. But yeah, he would rather stick around and, like, live in the world where he gets trolled constantly, because that's better than having to face the real world. That's better than having to go get a job. I think that Phil is a lesson.
There you go.
So guys, the final thing I wanted to say in regards to this whole Darkseid Phil thing is a lot of people that are naturally introverts, you know, you've got kind of the spectrum of how outgoing you are. You know, you've got introverts, ambiverts, and extroverts. A lot of people who are more towards kind of the introverted end of that continuum, they'll try to kind of dress up their personality by making themselves more interesting to talk to. You know, they'll develop an interest in various topics, whether it be music or movies or video games or history or current events, you know, geopolitics. They'll try and add to their personality. So when you sit down and talk to them, they've got things to talk about, you know. They will prepare for social situations that they might encounter in the future and kind of arm themselves with topics of conversation and everything. And this is a good thing, okay? It's definitely a good thing. But there's an element of this kind of personality self-improvement that often gets neglected, because you can be the smartest guy that walks into every room you ever walk into, okay? You can be the smartest person in every room for the rest of your life, and it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, as soon as you open your mouth, you're going to come across as basically an awkward weirdo if you don't practice this talent, this skill. You know, it's called a social skill. And in my experience, it's a skill that can easily be lost if you're not careful. And Darkseid Phil has definitely lost this skill. And that's the ability to have a fun vibe, to put on a fun vibe, to be fun to be around. Being fun to be around is probably one of the most useful personality traits that you can develop, okay? Way better than just being interesting, okay? Being interesting is good, but being fun to be around will get you much further. And like I said, it's a talent that can easily be lost over time. Like, I was fun in high school. I remember, you know, I went out with my friends one night and we found a bottle of vodka that was like 3/4 full in a tree, like, you know, at the top of the trunk, like wedged in between two branches in a park in the middle of the night in winter. And me and this other guy who was also fun, we just started drinking it and we got drunk, and it was a big spectacle that we had gotten drunk off this vodka that we had found. The other guys were like, bros, that could have had anything in it, you know. But it didn't matter, okay? It did not matter, because, like, I was fun back then. And I think I lost some of that, honestly. You know, I think that, you know, I lost some of that in my 20s. It's something that you have to work on. You can be fun as an 18-year-old, but be boring at 35. You can be more knowledgeable at 35, but you're not as fun to be around. And I really noticed that with the casino and Phil's appearance on it. You know, Phil lost the ability to be fun, to be around. Maybe he never was, but I suspect he was, but he lost it. Anyway, like I said, I had no previous interest in Darkside Phil. I just knew the name, but it's just been in the last kind of week or so that I've been paying attention to him. And I learn so much more from lolcows and the mistakes that they make than I do from, like, people that you're supposed to look up to, you know? Because I feel like deep down, you know, we're all lolcows deep down. Any one of us could have become like a video game playing hermit on the internet if life had kind of fortuitously or unfortuitously kind of eventuated like that. So what you can do is you can look at people that have made, you know, have become just a meme on the internet and just do the opposite of what they do.